It's a joy to see a number of people here that I do know, but many others I just don't know. But it's a joy to be here, folks, and when your pastor contacted me a time ago and asked would I be free at any time to come during the time when he would hive off, because that's what ministers do, they just hive off now and again and go on a sabbatical. So I said I'd be free on the 9th of June. He said, that's great, will you come in the morning? I says, yes, because I'm out at night time at a church over in South Shields. He says, so if you come in the morning of the 9th of June, you'll probably know from your calendar, it's Pentecost Sunday. So would you be willing to speak on the title, the subject of Come Holy Spirit? Come Holy Spirit. So this morning, guess what I'm going to speak about? Come Holy Spirit. Yeah? So let me set the scene, please, by reading in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, like the blowing of a violent wind, it came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under sun, under the heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, and are all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in their own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts and Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. And amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, What does this mean? And I'm sure many people over the years have asked that when there's been an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? Will we ever be the same again? Or do we want to be the same again? And so on. So I want to just say a few thousand words regarding Come Holy Spirit. In case you want to get out early, you can't because the doors are locked, okay? You don't get out until we say you can go, okay? As I look to this passage, which I've read many times, I've enjoyed over the years of being the minister here and other places of speaking regarding Pentecost. But something came, just flooded into my mind when I was just sitting in my wee study. And it was, some of you are old enough to remember, a program many years ago that came with the initials TW. That's for yes and that's for no. Do you remember that program? It was called That Was the Week That Was. Do you remember it? That's for yes and that's for no. Okay? The reality is, in that program, which is a long time ago, they invited a panel of people to come together and literally analyse the events of the previous week, the good, the bad, the different, all sorts of things. And it was really some program. Because some people really took offence and umbrage at what had taken place the previous week, and they were there to put their case forward very forcibly. So that's what came to my mind when I looked to this passage. Because one thing I thought I should do is what happened in the life of these guys before they got to Pentecost. And if you've got the scriptures in front of you, you can follow that if I suggest what happened in the last 2 months of their life. And you can go from where we're reading right back, and let's stop even at the time when Jesus was betrayed in the garden. Now that must have been absolutely shocking to the other disciples to find that one of their midst, those who had this complete and wonderful fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, through these many, many experiences, that any one of them would go and betray the Christ of God. It must have been shattering. And sometimes you know what it's like in the fellowship of Church of Jesus Christ. When somebody you really hope was this, and hope was that, and hope was the next thing, and they turn out to be quite different. Sometimes they're totally different. So it must have been a shock to them to discover that Judas was the guy who would betray Jesus. Then they follow from the betrayal to the arrest, to the trials, to the scourgings that Jesus experienced at the hands of the Romans, fled to an inch of his life, and then made in that condition to drag his own cross right through Jerusalem, right up to Golgotha. And they'd be crucified like a common criminal amongst two other thieves. Yeah? And then to see him being taken down from the cross and put in a borrowed tomb and then for the stone to be rolled away and sealed with a Roman seal. It's hard to really put into words. What did they feel? Because every one of us in here are a feeling person. What do you feel when things that you hope really would happen just don't happen? How do you feel when the promises you've received and received and received, they just don't work out? And exactly that kind of situation I think I could feel for the disciples. The hopes and dreams and plans and purposes that these guys must have had as they walked and talked with Jesus. Enjoyed wonderful, fruitful times of ministry to see people flocking to receive Jesus and acknowledge him as Savior and Lord. And then the hostility in Jerusalem, etc. The terrible, traumatic things they must have experienced. And so you've got these guys, right, follow Jesus, right up to the tomb which had been sealed. How do you think they felt when they're described in Luke chapter 24, when the risen Christ appeared on the third day? Just come into a room, we locked doors, and he said, "It's me," if I could use such a colloquial expression. He said, "It's I," and he said, "Oh, no, no, it's a ghost, it's a ghost." Jesus said, "Excuse me, have a look at my hands. Have a look at my side. It is I." And from that moment on, the fear, the amazement, all those kind of things were just transformed into joy, excitement, great joy. And so for 6 weeks or so, Luke says in chapter 1, some 40 plus days, what would it be like to walk and talk and sit down with the risen Christ Jesus? Couldn't you imagine some of the questions they must have had to Jesus? Where have you been? What have you seen? Who have you been talking to? When you disappear from us, who do you go to? And all the kind of questions, would it be wonderful if those who heard the answers to these kind of questions had written them down in the scripture? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be a real topic for a home group? You really get something really wonderful to talk about. What would Jesus say in such a circumstance? The risen Christ of God come to those whom he knew. We're the ones who carry everything on in the plan and purpose of the Father. And so it must have been a shock to them again when one day Jesus said, "Will you follow me, lads? Because I'm now going back to the Father." And they followed him right out towards Bethany, beyond Bethany. And he said, "I want you to just stand there because I'm going to ascend into the presence of my God and your God, my Father and your Father." And standing there, it must have been utter amazement to see the Christ of God being raised bodily up to be hidden in the clouds. And they're standing there looking. And the angels appeared and said, "Why do you stand in amazement? The same Christ, and you know the story. He'll return in the same manner as you saw him go." Yeah. But the word of Jesus was still ringing in there. "Go back to Jerusalem. Go back to Jerusalem. Wait there until we receive the promised Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit from our Father and from me." As Jesus in John chapter 14, John chapter 16 said, "When I return to the side of the Father, we will send to you Allos Parakletos." And I'll come to that in a minute. Yeah. But what did he expect to receive when they went back to Jerusalem with that? And I thought, "We're going to wait, we're going to wait, we're going to wait." And you can read it for yourself. They waited another week or so before anything happened. And all the time they're waiting and waiting. And you know how good you are at waiting, don't you? You're just waiting for God to happen, but he doesn't do it tomorrow. He doesn't do it last day. He waits and he does it in his time. Why? Because his time is not your time. And his ways are certainly not your ways nor mine. So these guys are waiting and waiting and waiting. Turned 120 of them waiting in an upper room. And what it'd been like to be in a prayer meeting like that. I don't know what your prayer meetings are like, but I've been in prayer meetings with hundreds. The time we went to Romania, and I was staying with this pastor, and he said, "Would you like to come with me?" And I went to a men's prayer meeting, 400 men. 400 men in the one place at one time, lifting their hearts and their hands to the Lord. And it was in Romanian. And I said, "Oh Lord, what are they saying? I want to join in. I want to join in." All of a sudden, I started speaking. And the pastor turned to me and he said, "I didn't know you knew Romanian, Jim." I said, "I don't. Does it sound good?" He says, "Really, I'm just saying that to you because what a wonderful experience it was. These men were looking for a mighty move of God in the whole. And you know what Romania was like after Ceausescu and all that kind of stuff. These people were destitute and desperate for something of God. And so I just think of these 120 people going back to Jerusalem. And it'd be wonderful just to go back and just sit down and be happy. But they walked into a major public event. Pentecost was about to be celebrated, yeah? And they were going to be there to take part in one of the great feasts or festivals of the Jewish people. You've got Passover, you've got the Passover at Pentecost, and you've got the Tabernacles, yeah? And they were there to rejoice along with the people. They were celebrating the first fruits of the harvest. And I could guarantee there'd be not many of those amongst that 120 would think that of a day, that day, They would become the first fruits of the many, many souls won for the kingdom of God. How could he possibly conceive that that would happen at that time? Because many times God surprises us over and over again. We can work out what he's going to do, what he's not going to do, and he just surprises you. And what they must have thought, they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. I mean, what could you imagine when Jesus said, I want you to wait and you'll receive, when I go back to the side of the Father, you'll receive Allos Parakletos. Yeah. What did he imagine that to be? They'd never known anything like that before, so what would it be like? Yeah. Do you think any imagined what actually happened at Pentecost? Do you think any imagined when he comes, it'll be like a rushing wind? When he comes with fire and tongues all over and landing on our heads, and we'll all speak in 15 different languages? None of them could have imagined. They couldn't have conceived that. Because eye and ear has not conceived what the Lord God can do when he wants to do it. And so these guys went back there and experienced all sorts of emotions which must have ranged from the sublime to the ridiculous. Just wondering what was happening. And so they experienced something of that. And I'll say this to you, brother and sister. If that was to be a once and only experience, could you imagine the testimony they would give? Could you imagine if you invited one of those at that time to come up here and see what they experienced that day? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if you invited somebody like that who'd experienced the rushing wind and the tongues of fire and speak in other languages? Could you imagine it'd be like if you brought them to your home group? Wouldn't your home group come alive? That's for yes and that's for no. Wouldn't it really? Because you don't get many people testifying or have a personal one-to-one experience of the living God. Because that's what's sadly lacking. Kathy and I go to many, many churches, 2 and 3 times Sundays of a month. Sometimes we go to a place where we say, oh, please, oh Lord, turn up, and do something wonderful in this place. And I don't say that to criticise them, but the reality is they'll get to many people have turned away from inviting the Holy Spirit. But if I were to say to you this morning, if you, sitting where you are, say this, oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, into my life. What would you expect? Could you expect anything? Yes. Yeah, I hope you do. I hope you would expect something. It might range from excitement. It might range to dread. Would you be full of fear or full of faith? What? Because I've met people who never utter that. They would never utter that because they're afraid. I'll go on to that in a wee minute. But what is it you can expect when you're inviting the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to fill you with himself? What? Well, I've asked the lads in the AV station up there to put up on the screen up here what Isaiah says in chapter 11, the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to start putting them up, lads? You go to that chapter of Isaiah, chapter 11, and you can read this. This is something of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He's the Spirit of counsel. He's the Spirit of power. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Yeah. Have a look at what we're talking about. This is what you could experience if the Holy Spirit was invited by you into your life. He could come in any of those capacities, yeah. And you can see why the Scripture speaks and shows us how the Holy Spirit searches and he leads and he guides and he indwells and he anoints and he appoints. You can see how and why he does that. Because it's all these attributes to him that he can deploy at any time. Yeah. Go on to the next ones, guys, please. Because see, if you take your time and go through the Old and New Testament, you'll find numerous expressions and descriptions of the Holy Spirit. So here's some others. He's also described in Scripture as the breath of the Almighty. The breath of the Almighty, the eternal Spirit. The generous Spirit. The good Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of the Most High. Yeah. And you can see how wonderful it is to be asked such a Spirit to come and dwell me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come as the breath of God. Come as the Spirit of the Almighty God. And I can assure you, brother and sister, you ever have the temerity, the audacity to pray such a prayer or have such a cry in your heart, and he comes, you'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. If any comfort zone you've established, it will move slightly to the side. Because nobody can invite the living God into life and ever remain the same. No church could ever remain the same. We have wonderful experiences of the Lord coming by his power at Heaton Baptist Church and down in Wales, the land of revival, where we knew the reviving, the refreshing working power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I could tell you stories galore of just what happens when God comes in, and there's a freedom for him to move. And I say to you, brother and sister, you can see why. Why, when you look at all these 22 attributes, there's many more beside. You can see why we seek to acknowledge him. He's the one who inspired the word of God to be written. He's the one who inspires worship. And I thank God for the songs we sung this morning. I was moved to sing somebody's beautiful word this morning. Because sometimes we just move away from getting on board. It was the Spirit of God that caused these men and women to write these beautiful songs. We should allow them just to speak into our hearts. He's the one who imparts vision and dreams and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And I pray you guys who'll be looking for a new pastor shortly, I pray indeed you'll ask the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, give us a vision for what you want us to be. I stood outside your door just the other day, and I stood on the other side, and I just looked at this building, I thought it says, you know, Park Road, etc., growing community. I thought, what does that mean? What do you think that means to anybody passing the door? See, many years ago when I was the minister of Heaton Baptist Church, I just wondered, does anybody in this area even know the church is alive? Because at that time there was no words outside the building or anything. And so I went and I stood across the road. The church was just across the road. And people will come round. I said, excuse me, can I ask you a question, sir? Yes, I said, is there a church around about here called Heaton Baptist Church? No, no. I said, but that building there? No, no, that's empty. The doors are always locked. There's never anybody there. Oh, I said, is that right? So I stopped people again, because you've got to go into the street and ask people, you know, what did they see? What did they conceive? Who did they see we are? And so I stopped people again. Excuse me, could you direct me to Heaton Baptist Church? He said, no, I don't know. There's nothing like that about here. And so I went to the deacons, went to tell them, I said, we've got to get a sign outside there. We've got to put something up to tell people, we're alive. And stop putting the big iron bars across the door, for goodness sake. Get the doors open and let the people come in that we could minister to them. We could talk to them during the week, during the night, any time at all. And God honours such things. And so I ask you, brother and sister, you're going to seek from God a vision. I hope you hear from the Holy Spirit. Because without vision, people perish. Without vision, people throw off restraint. Without vision, people just do their own thing. And I pray indeed that you'll be led to the right man or woman. It might be when Paul finally lays down the curtain, as it were. But let me ask you a question. You look at these 22 references I've given to the Holy Spirit, yeah? And I'm going to ask you a question. And you can answer it for yourself or whatever. Can you imagine any believer not wanting or not willing to invite the Holy Spirit in any of these capacities to come into their life? Could you imagine anybody not wanting the Holy Spirit to come in all of these various ministries and manifestations? Why would you say no to that? Yeah, because every one of us here know this, that many times I'm like, we need the wisdom of God. Is that correct? That's for yes and that's for no. You need the wisdom of God to make good choices, to get right before the event rather than after the event. And many people would give us the stories of what it was like when you did not ask God for wisdom. You did not ask for understanding. You did not ask for counsel. You did not ask for discernment. And you've experienced the result of it. Yeah. The sad thing about it is again and again, the Holy Spirit is available. He is available and wants to minister into our lives. But again and again, people will not do that. Yeah. And you might ask yourself, why would a church, for instance, not welcome the Holy Spirit? Made up of the congregation, whatever it might be. Why would they not welcome the Holy Spirit? And we've been to many places like that. We've also been to churches that openly welcome the Holy Spirit. And it's like night and day. What an expression indeed of the Holy Spirit. But I ask you, I wonder if you'll understand this. See, I've found many times over talking to people who've been Christians maybe longer than me. I was converted the 13th of August 1960 when I was 20. So I've been 59 years a believer, okay? I've talked to many people who have been in Christianity in various forms for years. And what I discovered, they build walls. They build walls based in doctrine, based in theology, based in denomination, based in personal preferences and prejudices and pride. And sometimes they create walls so thick that neither the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit can get through. The sad thing about it, you've got individuals hiding behind these walls, yeah? Yeah, because the reality is that everybody at some time or other will have an issue. Do you know what an issue is? You probably could describe it most adequately. Because people have got issues about all sorts of things. You might have issues even after this morning service, you know. But see, the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart well, because out of the heart flow the issues of life. Another translation says, guard your heart well, because out of the heart flow the boundaries of life. And you know that boundaries are created by issues, yeah? And unless you deal with the issues, you'll still have the boundaries. The sad thing about it, they can become walls. And believers are stuck behind walls. And churches are stuck behind walls. And I don't know if that's you. I only visit now and again when I'm free. I'm away blessing other people. I'm not joking, all right? Now, the reality is this, brother and sister. As long as a church, as long as individuals remain behind their walls, yeah, they'll not be open to any move of the Holy Spirit. They'll not welcome any new, fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit because they want to remain behind their wall. And that's a sadness. It really is a sadness because they're cutting off. They're cutting off the whole work that God wants to do individually and corporately in a church's life. Could you just imagine if the Holy Spirit came here one day and every one of us were filled with the grace and the glory and the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit and went out those doors? Yeah. What a difference it made. We went in the street and proclaimed the name of Jesus and sung the beautiful songs that we sung today. Sing them out there. Go down the wee park if they'll let you and sing them down there. The church that I went to meet Kathy and all those years ago, after the evening service in the summer, we all just got lock, stock and barrel right down to the street corner. One cinema there, one cinema there, and we would stand there and we would sing the songs and we would praise God. The local Neds in the area would come. You know the big pennies used to have years ago? Do you remember the big pennies? We used to aim to try and bounce them off our head from across the road. And the pastor was a real observant guy and he thought, I'm not going to waste this money. So he went to the microphone and he said, oh, thank you, lads. Oh, who told you we have got a building fund? Oh, thank lads, would you start picking these pennies up? So the lads in the guild started, we got quite a few bob, we really did. They stopped throwing the pennies. But the reality is that was the kind of church it was that I entered into. But do you know something? Let me show you something. See, I was converted 13th of August 1960. I'd never had any church connection. I'd been to church for weddings, funerals and christenings in the Church of Scotland. That's it. And then God graciously led me to talk to a welder I worked beside in the shipyard. He was a gracious born-again believer, which I didn't know it meant. And he took time with me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, sharing with me, taking the Bible out of his pocket in a shipyard, which was a most unusual experience, I can assure you. And I wonder what he's talking about. And every question I gave him, he'd say, just a wee minute, Jim, and I'll show you. And he would turn up the pages. And I didn't know that God had promised that my word shall not return unto me empty, but it will accomplish that whereunto I've sent it. So all the time I'm saying, so what does that mean? He said, just read it, Jim. Just read it. And he's saying, oh, Lord, bless your word, bless you. Whatever. And so I used to go home at night and lie in my bed. And these words would come across the ceiling of my bedroom. Repent and be converted and believe it. I'm going, what? I said to him, well, has anybody been painting anything in the ceiling? No. I said, well, all these words are appearing. What words? And I would repeat the scriptures that this guy told me the day before. Because God does that. And so I was shortly to be converted, right? Started going to that church to meet Kathy. That's where we get married. That's where boys get dedicated. And he was a lovely man. Oh, I'll not mention his name because he's now in the glory, praising God and magnifying the Lord, yeah? But he, along with Kathy's dad, way back in 1947, 50s, he started this whole new work in that area, which is a very tough and hostile area. And he was a lovely man. Oh, a heart he had to see people converted, see people come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It was a joy to hear him talk. He's such a heart for people's souls. And he'd rejoice again and again in the services. But you know, see, I'd say to the guy when I was converted, what do you do now? He said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, who's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? So he showed me in the Bible where that was. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep reading it until you know it at the back of your hand. I did that morning, noon, and night, day in, day out, during the night, every time. I wanted to read. I wanted to be excited about this Christ of God I was following. I went back to him. I said, right, I've been reading Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John for the last, what do I do now? The book of Acts, 28 chapters, Jim, read it. Forget the chapter heads, forget the verses, read it as a story. And I was excited. Oh, the church was on the move. I thought, wow, I want to be part of that. Yeah. And they said after the book of Acts, 28 chapters, what do I do now? Read the epistles, see how they fit in the Acts. And so I got a whole picture of what it was all about. And I was so excited. I could hardly wait to get into the shipyard to tell all these guys, hey, just stop what you're doing, player. Stop what you're doing, electrician. Just put it down. I've got something to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. Oh, my. And so on. Yeah. But then I noticed something. I noticed in the church that I was to become a member, become a leader, etc. We had wonderful sermons in God the Father. Wonderful sermons in God the Son, but none in God the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm pretty slow in learning, so it took me a wee while to notice. I thought, why? Because this man loved the Lord, and he loved the Scriptures. So why no mention of, oh, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but a prayer like that, he would do that. But no sermons. I went to the pastor, because he was open. I said, excuse me, pastor, can I ask you a question? Yes, Jim, what is it? I says, I rejoice in coming to this church, I really do. I'm so excited. It's a singing church, it's a praising church, it's a Bible-believing church. Yes, I rejoice that too, Jim. I said, can you tell me, pastor, why? Why are we getting these wonderful sermons morning, noon and night about God the Father? Yes, yes. I said, yeah, they're wonderful. Why are we getting all these sermons about God the Son? Yes, I agree with that, Jim. Why don't we get any in God the Holy Spirit? And I didn't shout at him. I was loving and kind. I said, pastor, tell me why. The Scripture's full of reference to the Holy Spirit. Why do we never hear teaching, even getting into the Old Testament, when you get into Judges and Samuel, etc., etc., and find out what he did in people's lives, turned their life upside down? Why don't we hear these examples? Why? And his answer was shocking to me, because I saw a man. He was a pastor of this church. It was a big church. It was a young church. Many young people, yeah, but he was afraid. He was afraid. And I looked at this man. He was a model to me. And I said to Pastor, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? He says, Jim, I don't want any of that stuff to happen in here. I didn't know what stuff he was talking about. I said, what? And so he only described. He'd seen the abuses. He'd seen the extremes. He'd seen all that kind of stuff. And so he decided his main function life is preach the gospel to people, come to the Christ of God, and then we'll be sorted out this, that, and the next thing. And so I found a great sadness that this man who would acknowledge that the Holy Spirit had been active from creation would be so right through to consummation. He was the constant companion of Jesus from the womb to the tomb, and yet he would not be speaking about him in the church. And I found a great, great sadness, and that happens over and over. It's still happening today. There might be people in here like that. I don't know. I just don't know. But I pray, God, indeed, you'll realize what the Scripture says. When we do not acknowledge him like that, we are ignoring him, we're insulting him, call it what you like, but we're misrepresenting God, the Holy Spirit, if we don't give him freedom, etc. Yeah. See, the Scripture says very clearly, yeah, that he is fully God, having all the attributes and fullness as God has. Let me just spell out for you. He is as holy as the Father. He's as gracious as the Son. He is as powerful as the Father. He is as merciful as the Son. He is sovereign as the Father. He is loving as the Son. And we know the Scripture teaches that each Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all played a part in bringing about our eternal salvation. God the Father planned and purposed. God the Son, he ratified it, offering himself up as a sacrifice. God the Holy Spirit confirmed and communicates the truth of that, which is life-changing for those who would accept. Yeah. And I sort of find it so strange that I can go to church and will not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. They'll not worship the Holy Spirit. They say, oh, you shouldn't worship the Holy Spirit. I say, show me what it says that in the Bible. He is God. He is God. As the Father is God and the Son is God. And he should be worshipped and acknowledge. If not, we are misrepresenting who he is. Yeah. In this Acts chapter 2, you see the wonderful impact of the Holy Spirit coming upon these disciples. Yeah. And you've heard many sermons. So I won't go over a sermon as such, but look at it. take time and read Peter's sermon, you can see that he spends time clearly laying out the reasons why the hearers should listen to Jesus and receive Jesus as their Saviour, yeah? And you can see very clearly that as a result of him preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming, this is that which Joel said. This is that, God said, I'll pour out my Spirit. And they were the recipients of this pouring out. And as a result, you can read the story as I do. 3,000 people converted, 3,000 people baptized, 3,000 people received the gift of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people, verse 42, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the prayers, to the breaking of bread, and to the fellowship. Could you imagine, please use your imagination, could you imagine some of these 3,000 going home? Yeah, could you imagine them going home and say, hey, Mum, say to a youngster, oh, Mum, guess what happened today? I asked Jesus to be my Saviour. Oh, I've been baptised by the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine the power of it? I know when I went home to my mother in the evening of the 13th of August 1960, age 20, I arrived home on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock, which was an unusual occurrence for me at age 20. Yeah. My mother looked at me, she just looked at me. I said, Mother, will you go up the hall, please? I'll just follow you into the living room. She said, where have you been tonight? What's happened to you? And we got into the living room and she's standing there in front of the fire. Remember how in those days the fireplace, two big chairs either side, remember that? My mother's standing with a big chair behind her and I'm standing facing her. She says, so where have you been? I said, tonight, Mother, I was at church. Don't tell me lies. Don't tell me lies. Churches are not open. I said, this one was. In the middle of Glasgow called the Tent Hall. I said, 2,500 people. And what were you doing there? I said, well, you know, I've been talking to you all week. I've been talking to the man that told me about Jesus. I went with him and his girlfriend to the meeting. And she says, what? I said, Mother, I was so convinced I must ask Jesus Christ to be my Saviour. She says, and ask Jesus to be my Saviour. I said, so I've been born again of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. And at that, her knees went. She fell right back in the chair. And so I knelt down beside her. I says, Mother, I just want to tell you, I've embraced Jesus Christ to be my Saviour. Mother, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life? She said, son, just go to your bed, you'll be all right in the morning. That's a Glasgow mother, okay? 59 years later, I'm still waiting to be all right. Okay, right. But the lovely thing about it, brother and sister, you follow Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts chapter 4, and you see these people then being filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples did not stop. Even the threats come pouring right into them. Do you know why? Listen, because they were completely convinced that God was able to deliver, God was able to save, God was able to release those who believed into the fullness of their potential. And I say that to you again and again. The sad thing for me has been a pastor in the church of Eaton 16 years and down at Wales 10 years and so on. And I met hundreds of people, believers in Christ, who have not entered into the plan and purpose of God for their life. They don't know what their destiny is. And I think, why? Why not? Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit? Well, he'll come and reveal it to you. You might not like it. And certainly I didn't like it. I certainly didn't like to be told you're going into the Baptist ministry. I enjoy being in teaching. And those who are teachers, you know why? You get a great salary, you get all these holidays and don't do much work. You know all that. I enjoyed that for 13, 14 years as a teacher. It was really great. And then God said, now stop all that nonsense and go and learn to do real things. I went to the Baptist ministry. Okay. But the reality is this. These dear brothers and sisters that we call the original disciples, yeah, they would go everywhere and anywhere. Do you know why? Because they realized they were born again, born of a divine spermatoza of God, born of the divine DNA. And you know that you today stand in front of, you're the product of your dad and your mother's DNA. It might be a good one, it might be a bad one, but that's it. You're the result of it. And when you and I are born again of the divine DNA, it says in Peter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, the divine spermatoza, the divine genes of God. How else could you become like your father unless you were born of him? How could you become like Paul says to the Corinthians? Day by day, degree by degree by degree, you become more like their father. You could never be that unless you were born of him. So these guys were absolutely bowled over. They were born of the incorruptible seed of God. And that gave them a boldness, it gave them a courage, it gave them everything. And so they became advocates for the truth, invincible evangelists, eager and enthusiastic workers, yeah. They want you to go into the world, go boldly where no man had gone before, and tell everybody about Jesus. And they only did that because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, you see, if they were filled and filled and filled, you might wonder and ask the question that somebody asked the Reverend Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. A number of years, this great man was asked by an interview, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, have you ever been filled with the Spirit? He says, yes, many times. The interviewer was kind of like, whoa, excuse me, wait a minute. How can you be filled and then filled and filled? He says, because in between being filled, I leak. In between being filled, I leak. And I wonder, when's the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Has it ever happened? I'm not saying that you're not born of him, but have you been filled with him? Some of these beautiful attributes that we saw this morning, yeah. And that's exactly what these guys, and he discovered something wonderful, and I hope you hear it. See, as they went along, they discovered again and again that when the Holy Spirit anointed them, yeah, that was that they might be the aroma of Jesus. Do you know what an aroma is? Do you know the difference between that and a smell? Would you rather be a smell or an aroma? An aroma is a sweet-smelling fragrance. So receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they became the aroma of Jesus. Where they went, people knew that Jesus had turned up. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A growing community. People out there know that Jesus has turned up in that church and he's coming out into our streets. Yeah. From being anointed, they became the aroma. They became the ambassador for the Christ of Christ, the Lord of Lords. You can see these for yourself in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 5. But exactly these things are spelled out. Yeah. And the reality is, they very clearly, and you know the scripture, you've read the book of Acts. They were described when these guys hit the town, when these disciples went into town, they were described as what? Those who have turned the world upside down, they've come here as well. And that wasn't the old day. It was like, whoa. Those who were identified as turning the world upside, they've come here as well. What an incredible testimony. They were the proof that Paul says to Titus. They've been washed through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Their lives were the evidence of a divine supernatural experience. And I wonder if anybody has ever looked at you saying that your life is different from mine. To the degree that I think your life demands a supernatural explanation. You live different from me. You talk different from me. You've got whole different plans and purposes that are different from me. And what would your answer be? But see that guy in the shipyard? All my mates, we were on the boat with a motorbike gang. There was 10 of us all burning up the streets, yeah? And I started talking to this guy. And then my mates used to say, you talk to that hallelujah. You talk to that welder that's kind of loopy. I says, he's not loopy at all. I work with a guy. He's very sensible. He's a good welder as well. You get in with him, the gaffers will give you a good job and so on. Yeah. And so I discovered this man, he loved Jesus and he talked with Jesus in such a personal way. And I said to him, I walked along the stage and inside this hold of the boat in this dark place. And there was Jod in the corner welding away. And I tapped his shoulder. I said, Jod, going to stop a wee minute. So he just put his helmet down. He said, what is it, Jod? I said, Jod, is Jesus real? Is he as real as you're talking about? He says, yes. I said, Jod, how do you know he's real? He said, I just talked to him a minute ago. I said, in the shipyard. In the midst of all the filth and language and everything goes on. I said, how, where did you talk to him? He says, just right here. This is me up the staging. I thought, well, I said, do you think I could talk to him? Yes, you will, Jim, if you ask him into your life, and so on. And that's exactly what these men showed, yeah. Their life gave the proof, yeah, of a supernatural experience. And they contrast, there were contrasts between people who did not have that experience. And to those people outside of that relationship with the Holy Spirit, for them, God was still far away. Jesus would become a figure of the past, yeah. The church would just be an empty letter. And the organization was just like propaganda, stuff like that. They would never believe and accept that these things were true. And the sad thing about it again and again, yeah, that even today in the Church of Christ, there'll be churches today, it's Pentecost Sunday. Can you imagine a church that says they love Jesus, they love the Word, not celebrating Pentecost? Well, you probably know there is. Yeah. The reality is these men showed very clearly that through the coming of the Holy Spirit, them saying, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, again and again and again, they were filled. And I'm suggesting right now that could happen to you where you are. Do you say you know the word of God? Why are you here to celebrate Pentecost, which is just rejoicing in the birth of the church, the receipt of the Holy Spirit, who's been with the church ever since that inauguration, right through, yeah? And wants to do wonderful things in everybody's life in here, yeah? And why would you not want to invite him? I don't know. And it's your choice. You see, right where you're sitting, you could do that. Close your eyes, not just shut to everybody else. But don't close your heart and don't close your mind, yeah? But the reality is, when you do that, you might say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me anew. Come, Holy Spirit, and just bring me something again of the freshness of the life of Christ and cause me to rejoice again and again. And I'm not suggesting something is different, because you go into the book of Acts, be chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19, and you'll see the disciples are filled and filled and filled and filled and filled again and again. There ain't no end. I mean, can I ask you something? How do you think you could ever receive all of God at the one time? You would burst. Yeah, you would burst. But as each part of your life is yielded to God, that can be filled and that can be filled. Your hopes and your dreams and your plans and your purposes, they can all be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the changes will be amazing. Amazing, not only for you, but for other people who are round about you. Yeah. And the reality is this, brother and sister, if you've got the thought to do it, so you can look at the churches I'm seeing through the book of Acts and see revival, 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 outpouring, outpouring, outpouring. You can see all that in the book of Acts. But you can go onto like YouTube, go onto Google, and look up the word revival, and you'll be there for a long time. They'll show the wonderful revival that took place in Scotland, the Hebrides, yeah? The Isle of Lewis, where hundreds of people were converted. And do you know the wonderful thing? I was looking at the video the other day. People are still alive at the time of making the video. They spoke about some of the ships passing the Isle of Lewis. The sailors on the boats were converted. They fell to their knees in the deck without even coming ashore. Such was the power of God pervading the whole area. Yeah. Read about the Wesleyan revivals. God used John and Charles Wesley in this country of England. Go to Wales, where we went for 10 years. The land of revivals, 1903, 1904, 1905. And God used a young man, 23 years of age, a young man who looked at the church and said, oh God, there's got to be better than this. In his Welsh language. There's got to be better than this. There's got to be, Lord. And so he started crying out, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Bend me. Bend me. Make me. Make me available. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Read it for yourself, 1903, 1904, 1905. And we live next to the chapels that were set up as a result of these revivals. Yeah. What an exciting thing to read. Evan Roberts, 23, said, Holy Spirit, if you come this year, come this year, and let us see 100,000 converts. Does anybody in here ever pray prayers like that? I'm not knocking you, I'm not. Who would ever pray a prayer like that unless you're inspired by the Holy Spirit? And who would love to see it happen? Because that's exactly what happened. Following revivals that God brought about in America through the guy called Charles Finney. Read it for yourself. Went from state to state to state. Everywhere he went and cried out to the Holy Spirit. Revivals broke out. Revivals broke out. And do you know that someday, I don't know who was counting, they worked out that during his ministry in America, some 250,000 people were converted. I mean, that is enormous. When did we ever see any real move of God, of people even in Whitley Bay in mass wanting to be converted? They could if the power of the Holy Spirit came upon this place. But the joys of the Spanish city being put back up again. A lovely tourist attraction. I wonder how many times I've actually sat round and just prayed for everybody coming in here. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, that they would know. It's not just an entertainment center. It's a spiritual hub, etc. Whatever it might be. Yeah, because that's the visions and dreams that God can give you. Yeah. And the reality is, brother and sister, you go through the book of Acts and see these outpourings. You know how they were outpouring? Acts chapter 3, 19 says this. Repent and believe that you might experience times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Who would not want a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord? Yeah. See, that word refreshing is the Greek word anapsuxis. A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S. And do you know what it means? Because you can very rarely get one English word that will equal one Greek word. Anapsuxis means refreshing, yes. It means recovery, yes. It means receiving, yes. It means reviving, it means renewal, it means restoration.
You think of us here. I've been a Christian 59 years, and I know I need refreshing again and again. Do you? That's for yes. Or some of you. No, don't do that. Do that. That's it. Right, see? That's what it is. See, I asked you to think about it. Who would not to receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit? You know what it was like. See, I told you, I went home that night and told my mother about Jesus. She said, go to your bed, son, you'll be all right in the morning. Do you think I went to sleep that night? I was 20 years old and I went to bed and I was filled. I'm going, oh God. My mother said, don't you shout this time, you're waking the neighbours up. I thought, well. And so I'm putting my shout into the pillow, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm saying that to you. Monday morning, went into the shipyard. And all the guys that I ran about, they're up at the pub and went to the dancing, and I wasn't there. So they just pinned Jim Wilson against the wall. He said, right, Wilson, where were you on Saturday night? You were supposed to be at the first round up the pub, and you weren't there. I said, no, I was. Where were you? I said, I was at church. Don't lie. Don't, you're a liar. I said, no, I wasn't. So what do you mean about a church? I said, about a church. And what did you go there for? I said, I wanted to learn more about Jesus. Oh, for goodness sake. And so what happened? And I told them, I asked Jesus into my life. And they went, oh, did you? I said, yes. And I'm born again. Did you? Come on, use your imagination. We're talking about ordinary people. All these guys with me in the shipyard, rough, tough, and all the rest of it, right? And they said, you're what? I said, I've been born again.
You don't look any different than me.
Still the same ugly bug as you've always been. And so on, yeah. But the reality is this. Day by day by day, I had to live and express. And then I'd be, do you know what a welding helmet's like, yeah? And then I'd be welding, be singing all these beautiful songs I would learn at church. I never knew a spiritual hymn. I never knew anything. But the ones I learned on Sunday night, I'm singing in Monday morning in the shipyard. And they used to sing up the ventilation shafts. You know what these things are, don't you? Takes the air from here up to there. And I never knew where the other end of the ventilation shaft was. And I'd be singing, oh, praise the Lord. And somebody shut that guy up down there to shout and do the soup. I used to go to the pipes that were not finished off. They're just an open pipe. And I would just sing, because it gave you an echo chamber as well, you know. It was really wonderful. And all these guys would be shouting and throwing things at you. But you know the thing? Do you know this? See, there was that biker gang I was part of. We were the Marlon Brandos, yeah, of those days, the wild ones, all that stuff. One by one, they all laughed and they ridiculed me. But one by one, they become, when I was working, see, Jim, what we taught with you. See that stuff? You know, could I get to know about that? I said, yeah. Yeah, come with me to church. Don't tell anybody. I said, don't worry, don't worry. And so could you just imagine the pastor's joy? When we had the pews, and I used to say, would you get one of the deacons to sit at the end of the pew in case he wants to escape? See, so the deacons used to. And one by one, at one time I had seven of these bikers, if you like, sit in the pew with me. And they're all going, where's this guy? I said, shh, you can't get out, shh, don't make a noise in the church, it's a church. And the point was, one by one they were converted. Can you imagine the joy? The joy, it's wonderful to become like a spiritual midwife. Being there to lead somebody to the knowledge of the Christ of God and actually see them. See, we had three children born to us, Kathy and I. And each time I wanted to be there to see the baby emerging, each time they told me, just get lost, Father, just get lost. So I never saw it. But I've seen many people come to spiritual life in Christ. And what a joy it is. Would you say yes for that? Yes, it is. To see new life come in. Because we need new life. Yeah, so I'm saying to you, brother and sister, who here this morning would not want to be refreshed? Your passion being restored. Yeah, to me. The anointing being renewed. All those kind of wonderful things that once you knew, but things have come in. Yeah, they can be moved away again. So I ask you, brother and sister, where you are sitting this morning, I want you to just, if you've got the courage to do it, you can just close your eyes. With your heart opened and your mind open, say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of counsel, spirit of might. Oh, come, breath of God. Breath of God, come. Fill me anew. See, these are the kind of prayers that the Holy Spirit would welcome. And he'd respond to you wherever you are, brother and sister. So I'm going to ask you just for a wee moment, just think about it. He can come and bring to you more of the exciting, powerful life of Jesus. that you can go out of here and be quite different for the person that come in. That can only be if you're willing to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. So actually, just for a few minutes, just quiet yourselves. Just quiet yourself and close your eyes. We'll be finished in a few moments, but you don't need to be finished. Because at any time of the day, night or morning, you can ask the Holy Spirit, oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come as the Spirit of grace. Come as the Spirit of life. Come as the Spirit of holiness. Come as the Spirit of glory. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of God Most High. So you can, in the quietness of your heart, even right now, you can say the words of a beautiful song of yesteryear. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what you do love and do what you would do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until I with you have one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of mine glows with the fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life in eternity. This morning, brother and sister, this is Pentecost Sunday, the day when we celebrate the birth of the church was just inaugurated and propelled into the world to teach the whosoevers and reach the whosoevers with the good news about Jesus Christ died to be their Saviour. If you've never had the opportunity of ever sharing these truths with somebody, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit over this next week? Lead me, Holy Spirit, to a family member, to a friend, to a neighbour, to whatever, that I could share with him the good news of Jesus. Could you imagine the joy you would have? You're responsible for bringing another soul into the kingdom of God. And you can do that as led and guided by the Spirit of the living God. Breathe on me, breath of God. Thank you, folks. Thank you for listening. And the reality is, obviously, if you want at the end of a service, you've got a prayer ministry team in here. You may pray for you, no doubt, to be filled again with the Holy Spirit if you so want. But please don't go away without doing business with God. In Jesus' name. Thank you.